This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, everybody, so good morning. We have an amazing topic ahead of us, relevant to the Yom Tov of Pesach and to the Haggadah. You know, if you hear that a new book came out, and you want to get a good idea, you know, what is the book about? What's going on in this book? What's the topic over here? You know, you want to get a good feel for the book. So, you know, there's a general rule. You open up the book, you read the first sentence, you go to the end, you read the last sentence, and that'll give you, you know, a little bit of a good feel of what the book's about. So, we know it says about the Torah itself. The Gemara in Saita says on Daf Yudal, it's number 4 on your sheets, Dara Shabi Simlai, Torah, Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, V'Saifa Gemilas Chasadim. The Torah begins with Chesed, ends with Chesed. Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, it begins with Chesed, Dechsev. The pasuk says, "Vayas Hashem Elokim, God made la'adam la'ishtai kasnai sar, garments of leather." Hashem was malbish harumim, right? So that's a nice chesed Ribbono Shel Olam did. Here you have two, a man, a woman. They need clothing. They're arum. God makes them clothing. So the Torah begins with chesed. The Torah also ends with chesed. How do I know the chesed? Vayikvar oisai v'gai. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So if the Torah begins with chesed and the Torah ends with chesed, it gives you an idea that we're dealing with a document that is kulay chesed. The Torah is God trying to help us out. He's trying to do us a favor. He's trying to do chesed to us. And I heard Rav Miller say many, many times, it's brought down in number 5, that obviously if the Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed, that reveals to us, that's symbolic, that's what the whole book is about. It's a book of chesed. So using this approach, and in this light, let us take a look at the Haggadah, right? The Haggadah is our handbook for the night of Pesach. And let's see, how does the Haggadah begin? How does the Haggadah end? Well, we know Haggadah begins, Halach Ma'anya. And what do we say in Halach Ma'anya? Hashata Hacha, this year we're here in Queens. L'shana Haba, Barad Yisrael. Next year in Jerusalem. That's how the Haggadah begins. How does the Haggadah end? After we're finished the Hallel and the Hallel Haggadah, we say Chasal to their Pesach, and then we say L'shan Abba Yerushalayim. In some Haggadahs it says say 3 times. You see if it brings down. There's some say it 3 times. So the Haggadah begins with L'shan Abba. The Haggadah ends with L'shan Abba. And in the Brisker Haggadah, Haggadah Shaila Torah, page Taf Yod Gimel, he brings down, look how the Haggadah begins and ends the very same way, almost like Ashrei, right? The Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Yud that any Parsha that was beloved to David HaMelech, he begins with Ashrei, he ends with Ashrei, right? So obviously the Haggadah is taking a similar approach. It begins L'shana Haba B'Arad Yisrael, it ends L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim, and as beautiful as this may sound, it doesn't make any sense. Because it's nice, you want to start with L'shana Haba, you want to end with L'shana Haba, but is that... does that reveal to us what the Haggadah is about? Is that symbolic of what Haggadah is about? Is that giving you a flavor for the Haggadah? Not at all. If you open up the Haggadah, it's not about L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. It's about things were bad in Egypt and God took us out. What does the Haggadah have to do with L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim? I mean, you could not have come up with a heading and a conclusion that is less relevant to the main body of the Haggadah. The Haggadah has absolutely nothing to do with L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. That is question number 1. You know, if you want to, yeah, I would start the Haggadah like this. God took us out of Egypt. I would end the Haggadah, God took us out of Egypt. That's a good, you know, somebody opens up the Haggadah, he'll get a good flavor for what the Haggadah is about. Well, L'shana Haba, yeah, you know, it's a nice statement. You know, Kalbach has good songs, no? Reb Zelig, Reb Shlomo has good songs with L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. But what does it have to do with the Haggadah?
Shlomo Midoy.
However, okay, that's question number 1. Question number 2. We know, how many books of the Torah are there? Okay. Technically, right? Everybody knows what? We're going to say, Echad Miyodea, Chamisha, Chumshei Torah. 5 books of Moses, yeah? What are they? Bereishis, Shemais, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. That's colloquially what we call it. But, if you look in the Rishonim, for example, the Bahag, the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, the Baal Hilchos Gedolos gives it a different name. Now, by the way, what does the Ramban call Sefer Bereishis? Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. Excuse me. The Ramban calls Bereishis? Confuse me. Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation, right? Shemais he calls
Sefer HaGeulah.
Sefer HaGeulah. However, the Bahag, as quoted by the Netziv in his introduction to Sefer Shemais, in his commentary Hamek Dover number 6 on your sheets, the Bahag gives it the following, the five books of Moses, he calls it the following five names. Okay, you ready for this? Bereshis he calls Bereshis. We'll skip Shemais for a minute. Vayikra he calls Sefer Kayanim or Taras Kayanim. That makes sense, right? Vayikra is about what? The laws of the Kayanim. Bamidbar Chumash HaPekudim, the book of counting. Very logical. It were counted a number of times in Bamidbar. And finally, Devarim is called
Mishnah
Torah. That is an expression we're all familiar with. However, you ready for this? Drum roll, please. Listen to what he calls Sefer Shemais. You ready for this, Gainus?
Chumasheni.
Book 2. Whoa, Mamish, Gainus, right? What did he call Shemais? Book 2. That's the best he could come up with. Book 2. I mean, the Ramban, at least he was creative with Sefer HaGeulah. You want to call it Shemais? Book 2. Does he call Vayikra Book 3? Does he call Bamidbar Book 4? No. The best way he could sum up Shemais is Book 2. And in fact, it's not his own creation. It's not his own novel concept. If you look in the Gemara in Saita, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara says that Shemais is called Chumash Sheni, Book 2. So as the Netziv writes, and again in number 6, he writes, three lines from the end, Veshuta derabbeisenu nitein lelamdenu bina. The language of our Chachamim is something we need to learn from. Why specifically do Chazal, does the Bahag, does the Gemara call Shemais Sefer Sheni? Okay, Chumash Sheni. Right? I don't know about what your favorite part of the Haggadah is, but you know, growing up, my favorite part,
Haggadah.
You open up the door, right? And everyone's crowding around the cup.
Everybody's watching the cup.
The cup, right? And someone's shaking the cup under the table. Oh, it's moving, right? That's my favorite part of the Haggadah. And is he going to come in? Why are we opening up the door? Why are we pouring the cup? Who are we pouring the cup for?
It's a big machlokas. I saw an extensive blog about this. And the bottom line is it's they really don't know the derivation of Kosha Eliyahu and why we open up the door.
Okay.
Big different ideas, but no one can trace back a true
source. Some say like this. There's a machlokas whether you need a fifth cup or not. So who's going to tell us whether you need the fifth cup? Teku, Tishbi Yatari, it's Kushim. But the well-known reason why we open the door is we're opening the door for Eliyahu Hanavi. Well, who are we pouring the cup for? The Mishnah Berurah brings down in number 9, in Simen Taf Pei, Sivkatan Yud, Mishnah says we pour the cup for Eliyahu Hanavi. Now, think about it for a moment. Could someone tell me why are we interrupting the Seder to invite Eliyahu Hanavi? I mean, he's always invited to my house. You know what? I'm giving him an open invitation. Eliyahu, you could always come into my home. And I'm sure he's a welcome in every single Jewish home. Vas epis, in the middle of the Seder, you're staring the whole Seder. Oh, 1 second! Before we go on with the Haggadah, you know, everybody, a whole commotion. Let's open the door for Elijah, for Eliyahu Navi. Well, what's he doing in the middle of the Seder? What does he have to do with Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim? He had something to do with Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim? No, nothing. You can read all the Psukim in Chumash. He's not mentioned as being the Goyal of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. He was Pinchas. He wasn't even around. He was around. He had nothing to do with Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Why in the middle of that, right? You in the middle of the Sukkah. You shtar the whole Sukkah. By the way, let's open up the door. Eliyahu Hanavi's coming in. What shaykh is Eliyahu Hanavi got to do? In the middle of the, right? Imagine in the middle of Mustafa and Yom Kippur. Middle of it. Whoa, wait a second. Everyone stop. Open the door. Eliyahu Hanavi's walking in. No. Well, you know, he's always invited, but what's he coming in the middle of the Seder? And why at that juncture? You want him to come? Invite him for the Seder. Open up the door in the beginning of the Seder. Baruch haba, you know, Eliyahu Hanavi. No, in middle of the Seder. When? What, he's coming for dessert? After dessert, he heard, you know, you're serving some good chocolate cake for dessert. So we assume, you know, he probably wants to get in on it. Well, what's he coming in at that juncture?
Well, we said that you asked the first question on Lashon HaRabba, what shackles of Lashon HaRabba say? You can say, Epsha, that you invited Eliyahu Hanavi in because you have bitachon that he's going to come soon, And we're going to have Lashon HaHabah.
Beautiful. We should have Bitachon every day of the year. Well, what are we in the middle of the Seder?
El Shimurim.
Shimurim means...
Yeah, then it should say in the beginning, not in the middle.
Say in the beginning, Lashon HaHabah.
Okay. Rabbi Yisai, we continue. Question number 4, we're up to. Remember when God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu the first time, and he's pleading with him, he's cajoling him, he's persuading him, "Nu Moshe, you're the man for the job. I want you to take the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt." So Moshe says, "Nah, you got the wrong guy." Right? He says, "Vayomer, biyadoino, shlach na biyad tishlach." He says, "Please, Hashem, please send biyad tishlach through the one you usually send. What do you want from my life? Send the guy you usually send." Says Rashi, who is Moshe referring to? Who does he want to hand off the job to? Says Rashi, biyad mi she'ata ragil l'shlayach. Send your usual messenger, v'hu Aaron. Okay. So, by the way, that makes sense. Because you know that who was a Navi before Moshe Rabbeinu even? Aaron. If you look in the Navi Yechezkel, it says that even before God spoke to Moshe, he spoke to Aaron. So Moshe has a good taino. What are you coming to me? You've been speaking to Aaron all along. Send him. Says Targum Yonasan ben Uziel a different shat. Look at number 12. Ba'amar, and Moshe said, Bivou beracham min kadam achashem. I ask mercy of you. Shalach kedoin shlichusach. Please send your message biyad Pinchas through the hands of Pinchas. Dechomei lemishtalcha besoif yomaya, that you are going to send in the end of days. So you hear who Moshe wants to pass the baton off to?
Pinchas.
Who's Pinchas? Elio. So Moshe says, what are you sending me? Anyway, Elio, I know he's going to come in the end of days. He might as well do this job. Sounds odd to me. God's getting... What's Moshe Rabbeinu drumming up Elio Anovi for? Why doesn't he say, you know, Mordechai is going to save them in times of Haman. Why don't you send Mordechai? Oh, you know, Yochanan Kohen Gadol is going to save them from Antiochus, so send Yochanan Kohen Gadol. First episode is drumming up Elio Anovi. Another question.
He wanted to avoid the two Goliaths.
Okay.
If Elio would have come, there wouldn't have been...
So he wants to go straight to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's a good pshat. Yeah, that's one pshat. Rabbi Yisai, I'm very excited to be able to tell you that, you know, if you look through many Haggadahs, who wrote the Haggadah?
I didn't
know. Anshin
Yeah, that's what I would have said. Anshin Kesagdol, a lot of it comes from Mechilta, different Mamari Chazal. Who is the editor-in-chief of the Haggadah? So it does not say in any Haggadah. It just says, the Baal Haggadah. It's printed in the Haggadah Tzemach Menachem. In the name of Rav Bunim. Now, which Rav Bunim is that? Rav Simcha Bunim Pshischa. That the Haggadah Shal Pesach was written by Eliyahu Hanavi. So, I have a question for you. What Shaykh is Eliyahu Hanavi? Nothing better to do with his time than to write the Haggadah? What's he writing the Haggadah? Why doesn't he write, you know, collective poems by Eliyahu Hanavi? What's he writing the Haggadah for? You want to write something? I don't know, write the story about Har HaKarmel. You were there. Write the story about, you know, Pinchas killing, you know, Zimri. And what's he writing the Haggadah for? Why the Haggadah?
What Shaykh is
Eliyahu Hanavi have to do with the Haggadah? He didn't even get the job. Right? He missed, Moshe Rabbeinu said, send Eliyahu. And Hashem said, no, I'm not. So what, Eliyahu said, at least if I can, you know, can't do it, I'll write the book. That's the second best option. Okay. Then we come to another question. We move along in the Haggadah, and we talk about all the miracles in Mitzrayim, Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, Arev, Dever, Shchin, Barad, Arbe, Choyshech. And then we say, how many Makos were in Mitzrayim? 10. How many Makos al Hayam?
50.
Then Rabbi Elazar says, no, not 10 and 50, 200 in Mitzrayim, 40 in Mitzrayim, 200 on the Yam. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Akiva says, 50 in Mitzrayim, 250 on the Yam. I mean, these guys, yeah, they have nothing but better to do with their time than, 40, no, 50, 200, who cares? Who cares how many miracles there were? If they're 40, they're 50, 10, I mean, there were a lot. Why can't we just say there were a lot of miracles? And it's a nafkamina to us exactly how many miracles there were. We weren't there, no nafkamina. What difference does it make? They have this big machlokes. 10, or 10 to 50, or 40 to 200, or 50 to 250. What's the nafkamina? Okay. It's an interesting kasha, no? Okay. Then we say in the Haggadah, you want to hear now, there's a tifa kasha. You ready? The Haggadah Shel Pesach, number 14. After all the dayenus, we say, al achas, kama v'kama, all the more so, toiva, kefula, umichupelas, lamakim aleinu. All the more so, God did us a toiva. The toiva is kefula. What does kefula mean?
Doubled.
Umichupelas, nachamal doubled. What do you mean it's doubled? What's doubled about it? Each taiva was one taiva. What exactly was doubled? You want to say there were 50? Then don't say doubled. 50 is not doubled. Doubled mean repetitive. Nothing was repetitive. Dam, Tzfardea was not repeating dam. Shchin was, there's nothing repetitious. What's the lashon of kifula umichupeles? Okay. And then finally, question number 8. We're going to have 8 questions. We'll summarize them quickly. Question number 8 is, could someone tell me, imagine the following scene. What are you down, Young Israel Farisels? Imagine Young Israel Farisels. You're the president? You used to be the president. So imagine under your reign, yeah? The Baal Hallel gets up there. He starts, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melekeinu Melech Haolam, Hashem Shalom Shalom. And then in the middle of Ma'ashev, he says, wait! He takes out of his bag, salami sandwich. He unwraps the salami sandwich. He says, what? He goes, he washes, he makes hamotzi, he eats the salami. Milv halal, everyone's watching with their mouth open. Then he takes out a pickle, he eats the pickle. Then he sings mirois, then he talks some politics. Okay, oh, 1 second, Berchus Hamazon, he's about to mention, oh, mayim achroinim. Then he continues with him. What would you do? Kick him out. If you're a good president, kick him out of the shul. And yet, the night of Pesach, emin drinin the halal, what do we do? Stop! Let's go wash our hands. Let's some eat. Matzah, some maror, some both, then some eggs, then some gefilte fish, and then a whole suda, and don't forget about dessert, then mayim achroinim. Oh, now we're ready. Now that we, you know, took care of that, we'll finish up the halal. What in the world are we doing? Why are we splitting halal into two? Why the first two kaisais and the beginning of the Seder? The last two kaisais and the end of the Seder? What is this, you know, it's like halftime. Halftime show. You know? And yeah, who's the star of the halftime show? Eliyahu HaNavi. What's going on? What's going on? Okay.
A pretty good star for halftime. Yeah. People would watch it. Right? Ratings would go through the roof.
Okay. Yeah. But it is just for entertainment purposes, right? Somebody made a comment. Excellent shir, but you know, well, we want to get you to speak in more yeshiva sha'olam. I said, no, I just cater to the crowd. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Anyway, so Rav Isai, very interesting. So we have 8 questions here, right? Question number 1. How the way the Haggadah starts and ends, is that reflective of the main body of the Haggadah? L'shana haba b'yushalayim, is that reflective of the main body of the Haggadah? We wanted to know why the Gemara in Saita and why the Baha'i calls Shemois Chumash Sheni. That's the second question. Number 3, why do we open the door in the middle of the Haggadah for Eliyahu HaNavi? What's he coming in now? Number 4, why does Moshe Rabbeinu, what's he passing off the baton to Eliyahu HaNavi? Why does Eliyahu, why is he the author of the Haggadah? Number 6, who cares how many makos were in Mitzrayim? Number 7. What's the lashon of kefula mechupeles? The makos were not doubled. And number 8. Why do we cut the seder in half, the halal in half, the arba kotzos in half? What's going on? Okay. Rabbi Yisai, in order to answer these questions, we have to begin with the following introduction. And that is, every observant Jew understands that one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, one of the 13 principles of faith, is we believe in Mashiach. In fact, the 12th principle, Ani ma'amin be'amuno shalema. V'viyas ha-mashiach, I believe in complete faith in the coming of Mashiach. V'yaf al pi she'yisma me'a, and even though he's delayed, im kol zeh, achak eloi, even so, I wait for him b'chol yom she'yavoy. I'm going to ask you a question now. When you hear this question, you're going to say, how come I never thought of this question? Or some of you are going to say that. Or you should say that.
I would say, how come this is number 12? Why isn't it number 1?
Okay.
Or number two, right?
I understand.
I believe in HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. I believe in God. There's reward and punishment. There's divine providence. There's Torah. Okay. Listen to this question. First episode, all of a sudden, the Rambam became a Tosfos. What do I mean by that? What's the Rambam trying to do in the Yud Gimel Ikrim? Set forth principles of faith. He's saying, Ani ma'amir shalom, sheyesh boirei umanig, right? Right, Shabbos Yisbach Shemay, Hu Bayrei Umanig L'chol Habruim V'Levad. All of a sudden, the Rambam has a kasha. In the middle of the night, it's like a toisus. Let the Rambam just say, Ani Ma'amin Be'amunu Shleima B'Vias HaMashiach. And finished. Oh, V'Yaf Al Pishisme. Now the Rambam has a kasha. Aye, where is he? Ah, the answer is, I still wait for him. I mean, you know, the Rambam could do this with every ikar. Well, for example, Ani Ma'amin Be'amunu Shleima. Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Shabar Yisbar Shemay, Meshalim Sachar Toiv Lo'isei Mitzvaysav, or Meshalim Gemol Lo'ivrei Mitzvaysav. So why does the Rambam have a kasha? V'yaf al pi sheyesh tzaddik v'raloi, even though there's a tzaddik who has a bad life, v'yesh rasha v'toiv lo'i, the Rambam should say, Im koze ani mamim. Or the Rambam could say like this, Ani mamim v'amushna Shabar Yisbar Shemay, Einoi guf, v'loi Yasigeu masigei aguf. So the Rambam should say, V'yaf al pi shekasa b'tayra, sheyesh raglayim l'shchina, v'yesh etzba l'shchina, im kol ze, mikol makom, you know, dibra tayra kolashin b'nei adam. The Rambam's not at a toisvus, he's not having kashas on the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So vosep this, we get to Mashiach, and the Rambam has a kasha. The kasha is, it's taken a long time. I mean, you could ask a kasha in every one of the Ikr. What do you mean, God doesn't have a guf, but it says in the Torah, V'tachas raglov kelivnas asafir, v'roisas achoyrai, or etzba aloikimi. The Rambam's not here to ask, he's not a toisvus, he's just saying the ikar. Who asked this question? It's brought down in the Sefer Shari Oira in the name of the Griz, the Briskarov. Amazing question. I think it's an amazing question. You know why? Because it's something that is so, I love questions on things that are so overused that you don't think about it. Right? The more familiar we are with things, the less we think about them. So this is something, you know, we sing our whole life. Why does the Rambam all of a sudden have a kasha? Okay? And the answer is even better. You ready for this? The Rambam says like this. The Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, in number 18, it's Rambam Hilchos Malachim, Parak Yir Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, there's somebody called Mashiach. HaMelech HaMashiach, Osid Lamoid Ulahachzer Malchus Beis David Liyushana. The King Mashiach is destined to get up and restore the Davidic dynasty. He'll build the Beis HaMikdash, he'll gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the world. He'll bring Karbonos, he'll make Shemitah and Yovel. Says the Rambam. V'chol mi she'enoi ma'amin boy. Oh, what about someone who doesn't believe in Mashiach? Oy mi she'enoi mechakel abiyasai? Or doesn't wait for Mashiach? So Rambam is talking about two kinds of guys. Someone who doesn't believe in Mashiach, that's A. Or B, he believes in Mashiach, but he ain't really waiting for him. Loi b'shar neviim b'ovad hu kaifer. So we would say, let's say you have a guy, either A, he doesn't believe in Mashiach, or B, he believes, but it's not like, you know, he's waiting for him. He's more interested in, you know, how his baseball team is going to do than whether Mashiach is going to come this year. Or a person may be more interested in his stocks than if Mashiach is going to come. Says the Rambam, so we would say, okay, you know, he's a little bit lacking in his faith. No, the Rambam says, he's not lacking. Loi b'shar nevi'im b'ovad hu kaifer. Not only is he a heretic, in the words of the prophets, ela b'toira uv'moishar abinu. He's a disbeliever in the Chumash. So the Rambam is talking about two kinds of guys. A guy who doesn't believe in Mashiach, which I don't think we fall under. Chas v'shalom. But then the Rambam says, what about a guy who believes in Mashiach but's not waiting for him? He's a kaifer. What is he a kaifer in? Not just the Nevi'im, the Chumash. So we'll have to talk about that.
How do you wait for Mashiach? How do you manifest waiting for Mashiach?
Oh, I have to see.
Call the kaifer?
We'll have to see. We'll have to see. So the Rambam is setting forth two principles. One is you need to believe, and one is you need to wait. Says the Briskarov in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, in Ikr number Yud Beis. The Rambam's not having a kasha with the Teretz. V'af al pisha yismamea, question. Don't worry, the answer is imkoza achakolai. The Rambam is setting forth the two principles. Principle number one, ani mamin be'amuna shalema be'vias hamashiach. That's principle number one. You know what principle number two is? V'af al pisha yismamea, imkoza achakolai. It's not a question with an answer, it's a statement. It's statement two. Statement one is, believe in Mashiach. Statement two is, yearn for Mashiach. And if you're lacking one, if you believe and you don't yearn, you're missing an ikar in Judaism. That's an amazing thing.
Why are there 14 ikaros?
Because they're so interconnected, I guess. But it comes out according to this, that yearning for Mashiach is not a high madrega, but rather if you're not yearning, you're a kaifer. So here's the question. I'm a kaifer if I don't yearn for Mashiach? Where in the Chumash? Show me. I'm from Missouri. Right? Show me. Where in the Chumash does it say I have to yearn for Mashiach? So you say, where in the Chumash does it even talk about Mashiach? So we'll find Psukim. It says, you know, at the end of Devarim, it says that the Rambam even quotes, V'shav Hashem lekecha shfuscha, God will return your captives, V'richamcha, He'll have mercy on you, V'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher afitzcha shama, He'll gather you in. It talks about Mashiach. There'll be veiled allusions to Mashiach. But you tell me where in Chumash it says I have to yearn for Mashiach. Doesn't say it in my Chumash. But the Rambam says it does say it in your Chumash. So what we have to do is find in Chumash, where does it say we're required to yearn for Mashiach? Okay? So, the Rambam makes a reference to a very interesting pasuk in Parashas Balak. Rabbis, we're just starting here. And the pasuk says like this. Look at number 20. Erenu, I see it. V'loy ata. But not?
Not now.
Not now. Ashurenu. What does Ashurenu mean? Also, I gaze at it. V'loy karev. It's not close. What is this talking about? The Rambam says it's talking about Mashiach. In other words, I see it, but it ain't close. I gaze at it, but it's not Karov. Fine. So this pasuk is a beautiful pasuk. It is a veiled reference to the concept of Mashiach.
Who's saying this? What context is this?
Bilam. Bilam says, I see it. I see their greatness, but not yet. Not now.
Now, we have to hear this from Bilam. We have to learn about Mashiach from Bilam.
Okay. That's also a good topic to discuss. But Rabbi Isai,
I think we touched on that.
We once touched on it, yeah. Does this pasuk have anything to do with the obligation to wait for Mashiach? So I'm going to tell you something amazing. You know, sometimes Torah is aniyim b'makam echad v'ashirim b'makam echad. In one place it's poor, in another place it's rich, which means sometimes you look at the source at hand and you don't have any clues. And you go elsewhere and then the whole world opens before you. We would translate the words Ashurenu v'loy karev, like sure. You know, right in the Slichos we say sure, and Ni'ila we say sure ki avad chasidenu. Sure means look. Look in Hoshea, look at number 21. Look at number 21. Va'ehi lohem kimay shachal. I will be to them like a lion. Kinomer, like a leopard. Al derech Ashur. On the road to Ashur. What's Ashur? Assyria, right? Assyria. That's how you would translate it. That's how I would translate it. But that's not how Rashi translates it. Why? Because Rashi points out that whenever the country of Ashur is mentioned in Tanakh, it has a dot in the shin. Kal Ashur shel mikra dagesh. Every time it says Assyria in Chumash, there's a dot in it. Vizer Rafi. And this one is weak, without a dot. She'eino she'im makayim. It's not the name of a place, but rather Ashur means Erev. I will lay in ambush. V'ashkoid. And I will yearn. In other words, you know what God is saying? I'm going to get those guys. I'm going to lay an ambush for them. Kinomer like a leopard al derech Ashur. That lays an ambush on the road. Says Rashi, where does the word Ashur mean to lay an ambush? Kemai? Ashurenu v'loy karov. I lay an ambush for it, but it's still not close. Says a Sefer Shari Oira, Rashi al HaTorah, not on Chumash, but on Hoshea, is telling me, This is how we read a pasuk in Chumash. You ready? Erenu, I see Mashiach, v'layata, but not now. Ashurenu, I lay in ambush for it. I yearn for it. I pine for it. V'lay karoiv, even though it's not close. Says the Sefer Shari Oira, when the Rambam says that the Chumash warns us to wait for Mashiach, we're these three words. Ashurenu, v'lay karoiv. I lay in ambush for it. Even though it's not close. That's an amazing thing. That's a completely different understanding. So in fact, this is the source, according to the Sefer Shari Ora for the Rambam, that someone that does not yearn for Mashiach, he's a kofar in the Chumash. Rabbi said, well, what we would like to do this morning is perhaps find another place in the Chumash where the Torah warns us to yearn for Mashiach, perhaps in a more open way. Especially the Rambam says that if you don't yearn for Mashiach, what are you? You're a kofar. I mean, you're a kofar because I don't know Rashi and Hoshea. You're telling me, why do you have to yearn for Mashiach? Turn to Hoshea, look at Rashi. Rashi there tells you Pshat and Pasuk and Balak. And now I know you have to yearn for the Mashiach.
By the way, in Hoshea,
yeah,
just in the area where this person is taken from,
yeah,
presumably my bar mitzvah parsha,
oh, yeah,
it also mentions Ashurenu several other times. And in its Rafe, Ephraim Maliot Atzobimani Anisi Vashurenu.
See there, it's obviously not referring to Assyria, right? It says Ashurenu. Here, Bederach Ashur, one would think it refers to a location, right? So Rashi's Chiddush is, here, Bederach Ashur is not...
And then in a few psukim prior, it says Ashur Lo Shienu. There, it's not good.
Good, good. Okay.
Also, isn't... I think it's the Shiva Dinachanta. It says, Be'ita Achishena. Now, Achishena is not Ashurana.
No.
But isn't that a reference to...
That's on God's part. He will hasten it. But on our part... Rabbi Yisai, the concept of yearning for Mashiach, you see where we're getting to. The concept of yearning for Mashiach, the Gemara tells us, is not just, right? Is not just a something that if someone doesn't believe, he's a kaifer. We know la'achamei ba'es from Shana, one of the six main questions that a person will be faced with. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us in number 23. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Omar Rava, b'shah shemachnisin adam ladin, at a time that a person comes in, la'achamei ba'es from Shana, oimrim lo, they say to him the following. Nasasa v'nasata be'amuna. Did you deal in business honestly? Kavata itim l'tayra. Did you set times to learn? Asakta b'peri of Arivya. See peace of Yeshua. Did you yearn for Mashiach? So Rabbi said, what we would like to investigate is where in the Chumash, perhaps, could we find that there is an obligation to yearn for Mashiach? So we'll begin this way. You know, how many mitzvos do we have in the Torah? 613. We know there are many moinei ha-mitzvos. There are many ways to calculate the 613. The Rambam has his list. The Ramban, the Bahag. There's a sefer called Sefer Mitzvos Katan, the Smak. In Mitzvah Aleph, the Smak says, now, if you were writing a list of mitzvos, what would you list as Mitzvah Aleph? Believe in God. Says the Smak. You know what Mitzvah Aleph is? Look at number 24. Leida, you should know. Sha'oisai shabar shemayim va'aretz, the one who created heaven and earth, who levadai moishel lamailo lamata, v'dal ruchis olam. He rules over everything. D'chsiv, anoichi Hashem leikecha, asher hoitzei sicha, me'aretz Mitzrayim. Now, in Mitzvah Aleph, five lines from the end, you know what this smack tells us? Uvezet taloi, and on this it's dependent. Masha amru chachamim, that which the chachamim tell us, that they ask a person after his death, did you yearn for Mashiach? What? He starts off by saying that the first mitzvah is believe in God, and he says that's why the Gemara says that after 120 years they're going to ask you, did you yearn for Mashiach? So he says, where is this mitzvah written that you have to yearn for Mashiach? It must be. You know what? Where it says it? It's dependent on the following. The same way we have to believe God took us out of Egypt, we have to believe God is going to take us out of the current galus. Shekeshem sheyesh lanu lahamin. Just like we have to believe. Shehoytzianu mimitzrayim. Shenemar anochi Hashem lekecha. So too, kach yesh lanu lahamin, that he'll take us out of this galus. So if you ask the smack, where in the Torah does it say you have to believe in Mashiach? Anochi Hashem lekecha shehoytzisicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. I mean, what's one got to do with the other? Maybe he took us out of that galus, but now he doesn't want to take us out of this galus. How does it follow? But from the smack, you see an incredible idea. That the mitzvah to yearn for Mashiach emerges from the most basic pasuk in Chumash. Anoichi Hashem lekecha, asher hoitzeisicha, me'aretz Mitzrayim. Now, Rabbeisai. So fine, we believe that Mashiach will come. And we're going to try to explain this for the rest of the shiur. Just because we believe God took us out of Egypt, does it necessary? Is it a corollary that God is going to take us out of Golus? If I were to ask you, when will the Geula come? When? What month of the year?
Nisan.
Nisan. It's Machlokes, Tanoim. Right? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, number 25, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, going on to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion, Tishrei, God created the world, the Avos were born in Tishrei, the Avos died in Tishrei, Yitzchak was born on Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, Sarah was remembered, Rachel was remembered, Chana was remembered, Yosef left jail in Rosh Hashanah, the Jews stopped working in Mitzrayim. Benisan, Nigalu, God redeemed us in Nisan, B'Tishrei Asid in Ligael, but He will redeem us, the final Golus in Tishrei. Rabbi Elazar says God created the world in Tishrei, God will redeem us in Tishrei. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua says no, God didn't create the world in Tishrei, God created the world in Nisan. B'Nisan Nivra Ha'ilam, B'Nisan the Avos were born, the Avos died in Nisan, Yitzchak was born on Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were remembered, Yosef left jail, Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidim Ligal. In Nisan we were redeemed, we will be redeemed in Nisan. So if I were to ask you, when is the Geula going to come, what month, what would you say? Machlekes. How do we paskin? So you say, is this a matter of halachic psak?
Don't we usually follow Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi
Yeshua? So, Rabbi Yisai, you want to know how we paskin? The Ran writes in the Drushas Haran, at the end of the third Drush, that during the month of Nisan, Onu Mekavim Hagula Hasida. Why? Because it's a machloikis, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And they argue whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. They also argue when the Gula is going to come. But they both agree whenever the world was created, that's when the Gula was going to come. Says the Ran, since we paskin halacha lemaisa that the world was created in Nisan, so therefore we paskin halacha lemaisa that the geula is going to come in Nisan. So halacha lemaisa, if I were to ask you when is the geula going to come, we paskin Nisan. By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan writes the same thing. Let's take it a little further.
Is now a halacha the geula?
Let's take it a little further. Mr. Sherman,
yeah.
If the Geula is going to come in Nisan, when in Nisan is the Geula going to come? When in Nisan? The 17th, the 19th,
but
the 3rd.
If the Geula was created on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we said that the Geula is going to come at the same time the world was created. So wouldn't it follow that the Geula will be on Rosh Chodesh?
All it says is the Nisan the world was created and Nisan we redeemed. Does it have to be the same day? No. The Medrash Tanchuma writes openly, look at number 27, that when the Kates came, it did not go by without Hashem batting an eyelash. In other words, it happened immediately. Look in the Medrash Tanchuma. B'chamisha asar b'nisan nigzara gzera. On the 15th day of Nisan, the decree was that we would go down to Mitzrayim. V'nidbar imam ravinu bein ha-mesarim. God spoke to Avram at the covenant between the parts. B'chamisha asar b'nisan Bo Malachi Ashoris Levasaya Yitzhak, on the 15th day of Nisan, the angels came to tell Avram and Sarah that Yitzhak would be born. Bechamisha Sabinisan Noilad, Yitzhak was born on Pesach. Bechamisha Sabinisan Nigalu. Mitzrayim. On the 15th day of Nisan, we were redeemed. B'chamisha asar b'nisan asidin ligael. Whoa. Amazing thing. Not just we were redeemed in Nisan, we will be redeemed in Nisan. We were redeemed on the 15th day of Nisan. We will be redeemed on the 15th day of Nisan. Rabbi Yisai, stay tuned. Okay?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.